are listening to Insight here on Capital Public Radio. I'm Randall White. There's an ongoing debate at the Capitol about whether undocumented immigrants should be eligible for Medi-Cal, the state's low-income health care program. If the most ambitious proposals go through, California would be the first state in the union to expand Medicaid to everyone, regardless of immigration status. But it's an expensive plan, and opponents are concerned about adding new patients to an already overburdened system. Meanwhile, millions of people are using workarounds to find care or simply going without it, both of which end up costing the state money in the long run. Cap Radio healthcare reporter Sammy Keola has an update on the latest developments over how the state could provide medical coverage to undocumented Californians. Sammy, welcome to Insight.
Thank you, Randall. Good morning.
We should mention that Friday is the big day for this, correct?
Right. Friday is when we'll see all of these budget discussions that have been sort of inching by. They're going to come to a head. And, you know, we could have a decision as soon as Friday, though things change and it could be a little later.
How widely do the different plans differ?
So we're basically looking at three options here. The option one is cover all undocumented immigrants, meaning make them all eligible for Medi-Cal.
Regardless of age.
Right. All ages. As if you're in the income bracket, you could sign up for Medi-Cal. Then there's the proposal to only offer that to undocumented immigrants up to age 26. So sort of like, you know, Medi-Cal is right now. You age out when you're 26 or you age out of your parents' insurance. This would be young adults who are undocumented could sign up. I should say that if you're 0 to 18 and you're undocumented, you're already eligible. We passed that in 2016.
That's already part of the state's plan.
Yeah, so kids are already covered. So this would extend it to young adults up to age 26. And then there's the option to do young adults and seniors over 65. So sort of the two ends, opposite ends of the spectrum versus covering just the young people versus covering everyone.
Is the reason for that one because that middle age group?
It's the biggest. So it all sort of comes down to cost. Mm-hmm. So when you look at the breakdown of the state's undocumented residents, about 82% are in that sort of working age group.
Oh, wow.
26 to 65. So almost everybody, 82% is in that middle group. And then young adults.
It's also the group that would need care the least.
Right. I mean, they're generally pretty healthy. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But this tends to be a group that has pretty good health outcomes. So the argument is maybe you want to capture those people into the insurance system. But, you know, it is the largest group of people, whereas these other sort of piecemeal approaches are going to be cheaper because you're talking about relatively few people. Only 2% of undocumented adults are in that senior category and 8% are in that young adult category. So, you know, I think some of the groups that are a little hesitant about spending money to cover all of the undocumented immigrants, they say, let's do it one bit at a time.
Sammy, let's get into a little bit of background to how we ended up here this week with all of these proposals coming to a head on Friday.
Yeah. First, I just want to talk a little bit about why I'm covering this. So I'm part of this collaboration. It's called the USC Center for Health Journalism Collaborative. That's through the University of Southern California. Mm-hmm. And there are 9 reporters, myself included, all across the state looking at who remains uninsured in the state of California.
Different types of media as well.
Yeah, newspapers and radio stations. Actually, we're the only radio station.
So, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Aren't we special? But, you know, the thought was since 2014, when the Affordable Care Act fully, you know, started rolling out, there's been this real push to get everyone in California insured. And now we have Governor Newsom, who's taken office and immediately said, I believe in universal health care. That's the idea of insurance for everyone.
It was part of his big first speech.
Yes, his very first week. And so the question is, okay, what does that look like? How do we get there? And to answer that question, we have to look at, well, who is still not insured? You know, because Medi-Cal eligibility expanded for a lot of people, for people who are single and childless. They didn't used to be eligible. They are now. Covered California was built and has subsidies for people in certain income brackets. So the theory is like most people should have an insurance option at this point, except for our undocumented residents. And that is because they're not eligible for Medi-Cal currently. They're not eligible for Covered California. What they can get is what we call restricted Medi-Cal. We still sort of consider this uninsured because it's not really health insurance. What it covers is emergency care. So if your life is in danger and you show up at the emergency room, you'll be covered for that through Medi-Cal. Or if you're pregnant, all of your pregnancy-related care is covered. But it does not cover regular doctor's appointments or any specialists or any surgery that isn't a life-threatening situation.
And supporters of getting more coverage to more people would say that the current system is expensive in the long run.
Right, because these people are still making medical expenditures. They're just not making them in a way that's being captured by insurance companies. So they're going to maybe county health clinics and ultimately using government dollars that way. Or they're ending up in the emergency room, which, you know, can just overburden the system. So, you know, advocates for getting everyone covered say, you know, let's start with preventive care. Let's get people healthy at the start so that they don't end up with these ongoing chronic conditions that can lead to a crisis point.
Exactly. Leaving conditions untreated can be very expensive in the end.
So the reason I've been tracking this is, you know, because I know that people are sort of living their lives on the edge, not knowing if I get sick, what is going to happen to me. I've interviewed a lot of those people. We'll hear from them in this segment. But today, this week, it's all about money. It's all about what's in the budget. And at first, we had two bills that were going to expand coverage for everyone, an assembly bill and a Senate bill.
Okay, these were SB 29 and AB 4?
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And AB 4, the language of the bill, it still says cover everyone. But the assembly budget that was released actually only puts the money in for young adults. So that's a mismatch, right? And the Senate bill originally said, let's cover everyone. And then it had to conform to what the Senate budget laid out. And the Senate budget, and this was a surprise, laid out money for the young adults and money for the seniors, which nobody was talking about seniors yet, but the Senate budget laid out the money for it. And so now that's what the Senate bill says. It says young adults and seniors. So we got those two proposals. And then Gavin Newsom from the get-go has said, only young adults. And he said, I can't do everyone because it's too expensive. He's estimating it at $3.4 billion. Here is his comment from the May revise.
If you're curious why I'm not able to include it in the May revise, there's 3.4 billion reasons why it's a challenge.
So that was kind of the first time he came out and said, look, it's too much money. I want to work with everyone, but you know, I've got other priorities here, other priorities in healthcare, other priorities in other areas. And, you know, there's only so much we can do at this time. So he wants to take a step-by-step kind of piecemeal approach.
So if the Senate and Assembly were to agree on covering everyone, for instance, the governor may not sign that.
No, he may not. Mm-hmm. So I think on Friday, these discussions will involve the governor's office and hopefully they get to a unified budget that's on the same page. I don't know what that will look like. My guess is that it will be money for the young adult population. But I think some of the advocates, the universal healthcare advocates I've been speaking to, they really want to see it include the seniors, too. So that's kind of their push now is now that seniors are an option, can we get the governor on board for seniors? I think it's pretty unlikely that coverage for all will happen this year. But these proposals will always come back up, you know. So back in 2016, they got kids covered, and that had been an ongoing push. And so it's going to be, I think, still a years-long battle after this.
Sammy, at the start of this segment, I said that California would be the first state to expand Medicaid to everyone if this were to go through. What's the next closest state out there right now? Are there some states that are on board with any of these plans?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'm not sure what other states have in the channels. I do know if California passes Medi-Cal eligibility for undocumented young adults, we would be the first state to do that. But I think there are other states that cover kids. I'm not positive.
We're speaking with Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola, about proposals for health coverage for undocumented Californians. So, Sammy, give us some of the arguments for and against these different expansion ideas.
Sure. So the main argument is for it is sort of what we talked about before, is that people should have regular health care. If they're consistently seeing a doctor, getting their checkups, that they'll stay healthy and cost the healthcare system less in the long run. When that doesn't happen, you know, they they end up going to their local clinics. They sometimes end up in the emergency room, and we end up with sort of a clogged system with, you know, treating illnesses that could have been prevented. And, you know, it's sort of tricky with the undocumented population because I've talked to them and to their family members, and a lot of the times they're even afraid to just go to the doctor. Because they're afraid of giving out any of their information and that being reported and them being, you know, their status here being at risk, that they could be deported. For the most part, medical information is not used for deportation reasons. And that's something that sort of nonprofit groups and trusted sources, they're always trying to tell people, look, you can go to the doctor. And your doctor is not going to report you. But that's an ongoing issue. But yeah, for those that do seek medical care, you know, it is expensive. And the thought is if they're covered, you know, that'll cut down on costs in the long run. So somebody I talked to, her name is Leticia, and she asked that we not use her last name. But she really needed a knee replacement. She had rheumatoid arthritis. She was kind of limping around for years, trying to work. It was getting in the way of her working. And that's something they can diagnose at a community clinic, but they can't do a knee replacement surgery.
Leticia's here in Sacramento?
Yeah, she's local. Mm-hmm. She's 53. So she falls in that sort of middle group, that working age group, not a senior yet. And, you know, she would go to the emergency room, but they would say, well, you're not covered for this. It's not an emergency, so you pay out of pocket. And she said, I can't do that. And so I have a quote from her son. His name is JC Martinez.
It's very painful to see my mom not being able to do things that she liked doing. You feel like you're powerless. Not only can you not help your mom out in a sense that you would want to pay for surgery, but then also there's no means until we found this Spirit program for her to actually get the surgery.
The Spirit program.
Yeah, so I just did a piece on this. It's this surgery program where doctors just do it pro bono. It's a Sacramento program through the Sacramento Sierra Valley Medical Society, and they're volunteer doctors. So there's actually no money involved. The doctors give their time for free, and the hospitals donate operating space. So it's a charity program. And, you know, for Leticia, it was a happy ending. She's on the wait list. There is a long wait list, but she is going to get her knee replaced. But that's the thing. It only addresses a sliver of the problem. For everyone who's on that wait list, there's even more people who don't even know about the program who need these kinds of surgeries.
And I imagine in some cases, the surgery that would not be approved otherwise might get these people into a situation where they could be a working member of society as well.
Yeah. I mean, that was all Leticia talked about when I interviewed her was, I need to work. You know, she's got three kids, single mom, and you know, she works at a warehouse, and she says it's really important for me to work. That's why I came to America, so that I could work. And she was really worried about what would happen if she was put out by an injury, and it does happen.
Any of us who have ever had large-scale surgeries like this know that there are many follow-up appointments and that sort of thing. Does Spirit step in there as well?
They do what they can. So sometimes they find you know, a physical rehab therapist who's willing to donate. They just kind of make a lot of phone calls and they see what they can set up. But yeah, for the most part, it's the surgery.
You also spoke to someone from UCLA.
Yeah, this gets at what we were saying before about sort of the cost and which groups are the healthiest. Who does it make sense to cover? This is David Hayes Bautista at UCLA. And he says, really, it makes sense to cover this middle age group.
And the reason why I say that is because of the Latino epidemiological paradox. Apart from occupational hazards, like agriculture is pretty hazardous, Latinos actually tend to have really good health status, very good health behaviors, low rates of drinking, smoking, drug use, etc. They're employed, although it may be somewhat irregular unemployment, but that's precisely the population you would want to get into an insurance pool to subsidize the elderly. So you get usually the parents of the dreamers, if you will, to put kind of a face to them. People are 40, 50, 60 years old. They tend to be the ones who are working but not really able to access insurance very easily.
Yeah, so he's saying if you're going to cover seniors who are going to have more health issues and be more costly to cover, you could subsidize that by putting in this large group of healthier people. So that's just one argument for.
Yeah, let's talk a little about opposition now.
Yeah, and there's plenty. Most people who oppose it are really worried about spending. Like I said, $3.4 billion is a huge chunk of the budget.
You can't talk healthcare without talking spending and concerns over price. Yeah.
You cannot. So yeah, there's the dollar amount. Then there are groups that are just philosophically against the idea of giving healthcare to non-citizens. Some people have raised concerns about the already clogged up healthcare system. When you talk about low-income people on Medi-Cal, like I said, Medi-Cal expanded here in 2014. A lot of people signed up, but that didn't increase the number of doctors in the state. So if you're on Medi-Cal, you know it's hard to get an appointment. You call and some doctors say, we're not taking Medi-Cal right now. Or they say,
and that's a growing number of doctors, is it not?
That are not taking Medi-Cal. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, that as more people have signed up for Medi-Cal, fewer doctors can take them. And so there'll be long wait times. And they're saying, well, even more people sign up for Medi-Cal. What doctors are they even going to see? So it's one thing to be insured. It's another thing to have access. And so there are a couple of, efforts in California right now to fix that. One is raising the reimbursement rates for physicians. This is what they get paid by the state to care for people on Medi-Cal. And right now they don't get paid very much. So they don't have a lot of incentive to take these patients
when they
could be taking private plan patients. Mm-hmm. They get paid a lot more. So for years, there's been efforts to sort of funnel money into reimbursement rates. They've been raising very slowly over the years. They could raise more. There are also efforts to recruit more doctors specifically to treat the low income. So if you're a medical student these days, we're trying to create incentive programs like loan repayment if you promise to go into a low-income area and take Medi-Cal patients. So, those are solutions that are in the works. And I think the hope is that, we'll be able to build up the physician workforce as we enroll more people in Medi-Cal. But, it's a lot of question marks. It's a lot of dollar signs. And so we're going to have to let our lawmakers duke it out. And they could come to a decision as early as this Friday. Or there may be overhanging questions and they may stall and they may come out with something entirely different. They may say, we're not going to cover anybody. That seems unlikely, though. There's been such a push for this from patient groups, from immigrant rights groups, just to say, there are millions of undocumented people that live in our state and work in our state that want to be healthy to continue their lives here. So from a human standpoint, it's hard to talk to these people who go through their lives not knowing what's going to happen if they get sick. And I've even talked to some people who their parents got sick. Like I talked to a young woman, she's documented, but her parents were not documented. And they went back to Mexico because they were starting to get sick. And they said, we don't know if we're going to be covered here. So we went back. And that's hard for her because now she doesn't have her parents. Mm. I think one or two or all of these options are possible. It's a wait and see. And it is something California leads the way on. We do have a really large population of undocumented people. We also have some of the most progressive groups pushing for this kind of coverage.
So they're competing bills, but they could all pass, right?
It all is going to come down to the budget discussions. So on Friday, they're going to try to come up with a budget compromise with one unified budget. And so I think whatever money is in there is ultimately going to dictate which bills can survive.
As somebody who reports on this regularly and who consults with our Ben Adler.
Oh, no, please don't ask me a Ben Adler question.
Do you have some sort of pulse or sense of which one of these might get the most support?
Yeah, I'm not a great predictor, but my guess would be that the young adult proposal has the most chance right now.
And it's the one that the governor is also behind.
Yeah, and that's why I say that, because the governor has taken that stance from the get-go, and he just seems pretty firm on that. And it's just a logical progression after covering kids 0 to 18 that you just add in this 19 to 26 group, and it's not a huge number of people. Like I said, they're a small fraction of the undocumented, but it would be sort of the next milestone in this trajectory.
Right.
So I think that's pretty likely. I think what's intriguing to me is whether the seniors will get added in because, you know, they're also a small group. So theoretically, it wouldn't cost too much to cover them. But that said, they have additional health concerns. Many of them have been working out in the fields for decades. And so they've got kind of overhanging health problems.
Right.
But, you know, that's a possibility, too.
Cap Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kayola. As always, Sammy, thank you. And we know you'll be watching closely on Friday. And
yeah, people... we'll have a story up on capradio.org sometime soon.
That is for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to say all of the work on this, on the uninsured, is at capradio.org/uncovered-California.
And we tested it out in the newsroom. You can do both Uncovered California with or without the hyphen.
Oh, good to know.
So at any rate, head to capradio.org for more on this topic and all of Sammy's healthcare reporting. She also tweets. You can follow at Cap Radio Health. What's your personal tweet?
It's at Sammy Kayola.
There we go. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.